this here's where you get your prime rib, your short ribs, and then you got your chuck, you get a chuck roast.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then all your good stuff comes out of a hind here.
I recently went out to Ranch Foods Direct, a local Colorado Springs meatpacking plant and market. And there, Roger Wichman, a meat cutter, gave me a tour.
New York steaks, top loin steaks and everything. And your tenderloin is on the inside where it's well protected,
oh,
right here.
Okay.
This is a tenderloin, filet mignon.
It was great. I got some blood on my shoes, and I felt a little woozy afterwards. The real reason I went out there, though, was to interview this man.
That is not fair. That is not what was what we had designed for America.
This is Mike Calicrate, owner of Ranch Foods Direct, rancher, and well-known food activist in Colorado Springs. Our interview sounded a bit like the typical Food Inc., Michael Pollan-type documentary. Calicrate is vehemently opposed to industrial agriculture. But there was another lesser-told story about ranching that came up.
To think that we could potentially have a collaboration of environmentalists, of animal welfare advocates, with producers who raise livestock and take care of the land, is pretty amazing. And when you consider that in the ag community, that the industrial ag advocates, whether it be Farm Bureau, whether it be the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, or the American Meat Institute that represents the biggest meat packers in the country, they've tried so hard to make these groups evil.
The large corporate-led food companies, according to Calicrate, are tapping into a conflict that has been around for a while now. During the 1980s and 90s, as environmentalism gained more traction, many ranchers found themselves in the crosshairs for their grazing on public lands in the American West. On the one side, environmentalists claimed no to all livestock grazing. On the other, ranchers said this is our land and livelihood. And over time, they reached gridlock. After years of being stuck in debate, both sides realized there's probably another more civil route to resolving the issue. Collaboration.
Hello?
Bill?
Yeah,
I called Bill McDonald, rancher and executive director of the Malpai Borderlands Group. Located in southern Arizona, the Malpai Group is known nationally for its successful collaboration efforts between environmentalists and ranchers over the past 20 years. I asked Bill about the formation of the group.
A couple of reasons. Primarily, I guess, was concern over what we felt was an attack on public lands grazing in the West. And we felt that, you know, there might be a different approach and try to find people on the conservation side who we could find common ground with.
And they would find common ground over things like maintaining a healthy landscape and protecting their area from urban development and fragmentation, a major threat to ranching and the open ecosystems of the West. This led them to another conclusion.
So, I mean, a lot of the argument about, you know, should it be grazed or not grazed, kind of fell by the wayside as you work at trying to do the best you can for a fragile yet resilient semi-arid grassland.
The Malpai Group signaled a major shift away from the rhetorical gridlock of the 80s and 90s and towards finding mutual conservation interests. Their approach worked. Since their inception, they have conserved large amounts of land, all without too much conflict. They have shown it possible to find consensus and protect land. Mike Calicrate applauded the collaboration of groups like the Malpai.
Ranchers, the really forward-thinking ranchers, are starting, in fact, have been collaborating with the environmental movement, because they realize in the environmental movement, the people who are really smart in that movement realize that the rancher, given a fair income, is the absolute best steward of the land.
It may be a bit surprising to hear that ranching, a practice associated with grazing and meat production, could conserve land. To many, ranching and environmentalism simply don't mix. One is oil and the other water, separating rural from urban, conservative from liberal, and traditional from progressive. Yet the issue is not that simple. The two sides don't have to be as diametrically opposed as they are made out to be.
All ranchers are environmentalists, I think.
Another rancher I interviewed was Duke Phillips, the manager out at Chico Basin Ranch, just outside Colorado Springs.
And they have to be if they're going to be able to survive into the future. Their resources have to be improved. They have to be healthy. And not for the sake of production, but for the sake of being healthy.
Both ranchers and environmentalists care about conserving the West, and now they have found more ways to come together on the matter without giving up their personal value systems. For instance, many ranchers have changed the way they graze livestock in order to try and replicate a more natural ecosystem, one that existed long before ranching was in the U.S.
I think we can all agree that nature is cyclical. It's hot, cold, mm-hmm. It's wet and dry. And so if you have a grass that's never in any kind of cycle where it's grazed and rested, mm-hmm. Well, then you have a stagnant system. So nature needs a disturbance and it needs cycles. And so grazing is one of many of those kinds of ways you can disturb land.
The hope in grazing with these factors in mind is to sustain land. In many cases, it has worked, and in others, it has gone even further, restoring previously damaged land. Moreover, considering the ever-increasing threat of urbanization on the open lands of the West, ranchers have incredible potential. They can conserve. Their practices can be reconciled with environmentalism. The question now, then, is not whether grazing is good or bad, but rather how to maintain ranching that can conserve for the future. For KRCC, I'm Max Hittesdorf.